On today's Featured, we are talking about my favorite Disney character, Alan Tudyk. So, this is a little different. This is an actor, but you know what? Last week we talked about a real person as well. So, that I'm just going to use that as my little intro to be able to do this. Alan Tudyk is an American actor and voice actor, and he's best known for his role as Wash in the critically acclaimed series Firefly, which is now owned by Disney.
It is.
Because it's a Fox.
What a good merger that was.
What a great merger. But I think, to me, what really shines is the amount of voiceover work that he has done at Disney, starting back all the way in 2012 as King Candy in Wreck-It Ralph, and he actually won an Annie Award for voice acting in a feature production for his role of King Candy. And I'm also really entertained because I feel like he does the voice that's like a very Mad Hattery voice. Mm-hmm. It sounds very much like the Mad Hatter voice to
yeah.
me, and he's got it down. But after that, he's basically been in almost every single Disney film that has come out. He was the Duke of Wesselton in Frozen. He was also then Duke Weaselton in Zootopia. He was in Big Hero 6. He's the big bad. He's Alistair in it.
Wow.
He is the Northuldra leader in Frozen 2. He is Hey in Moana. He is the Google guy, Knows More in Ralph 2. He is Tuk Tuk in Raya and the Last Dragon. He is Pico, the random toucan in Encanto, who's in such a big part. He's just there all the time. He's Duffel, which is one of the crew members in Strange World. And if you had the pleasure of watching Star vs. the Forces of Evil, he's both Ludo, which is like that weird tiny bird-like thing who's like the really bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is River Butterfly, who is her father, Star's father. So I just definitely always loved hearing him on that. He's also in Star Wars. He's K2SO in Rogue One.
Yeah.
So he has also been in the Star Wars universe. I think we just need to get him into the Marvel universe. I don't think he's made his way there yet.
And then instead of Fat Rights, we could be Tudykites.
Tudykites.
The Tudyks. Oh, wow. But basically, he's a magical person. He's very polite when you talk to him in person. So definitely approach him on the street. He is nice and gracious and wonderful, and I love him.
I just imagine him on the street with like a mob of people and him being like, "Damn you, Rachel!
Why did you tell everyone I'm such a lovely person?
Why?"
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
The marvelous galaxy.
Disney, yeah.
Welcome to this week's Marvelous Galaxy of Disney. I'm Sean.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Alan.
And we're here to talk about stuff. Starting with our Margal Disbiz answer for last week.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel's like, "I just got back, you guys. I have no idea why you're putting these syllables together
to make this
noise."
Margal, blah, blah, blah.
Margal Disbiz! So every week we ask a question because we're curious. We want to see how you, the listeners, the Favorites, feel about certain things. So last week we asked the controversial question, do you like The Rise of Skywalker? Rachel, what is your answer?
My answer was it was all right. I didn't hate it, but I also watched it on a plane. So I feel like I missed a lot of context because it had really horrible sound.
Mm.
And so I had it turned up as high maximum as it could go, and I was like clinging to them. But like, it was fine. It was very... There was a lot of romance between Rey and Ben
that
I felt like did not develop prior to this. It was all very vague up until this one, and then they're like, yeah, they do really like each other. Then I was really sad when he died.
Yeah. How about you, Alon?
I liked it. It wasn't my favorite of the three, but I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, it gave me what I needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said this before on the show, the sequel trilogy could have been more cohesive, but it worked for what it was, and I didn't hate it. So, yeah, I liked it. It'd probably be, like, middle of the pack for me in the Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. Thought it was better than any of the prequels.
I mean, that bar is not high.
Yeah. So, would you like to know what our listeners felt?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I did get a write-in from Princess Chris. Princess Chris feels like it is the second worst Star Wars movie. So, I asked him, what's the worst Star Wars movie? He said Solo.
What? I love Solo. What? No, it's a fun romp. It's a fun space cowboy romp.
I thought Solo was promising as well. Like,
I mean, I did like their casting for Solo because that was big boots to fill.
Yeah.
But I had a great time. I would have watched the second movie.
I would have watched all trilogy, and they were teasing, like, oh, next we're going to go meet Jabba, and we're going to do this, and I'm like, I want to see all that.
100%, I would be there for that.
Yeah.
What? I can't, like, ugh. I can't believe he puts that beneath the prequel.
I know.
Did we watch the same films?
Did we watch the same prequels? So, for our votes, 31% said no, they, 69% said yes, they liked it, 31% said no, they did not. Okay. There you go.
Hilarious.
That's a hysterical number.
Hysterical number.
So you heard it right here, like, that's kind of what I figured, is the haters always get the platform, so, like, the bad voices were winning out the good voices, but, like, for the most part, it was a fine movie. I don't think it was terrible. Mm-hmm. And that's what people agree with.
Yep.
Well, speaking of The Rise of Skywalker, should we get into Parks and Rec?
Yeah. Oh.
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Speaking of Parks and Rec, should we talk about the Star Cruiser?
Parks,
yes.
And Rec. Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec.
Yeah. So if you are still aspiring to go into the Star Cruiser in Orlando, I have some good news for you. Disney is now offering up to $700 for a two-night stay on the Star Cruiser on their website. So this is the biggest discount they've offered so far. The last one was with the DVC club members, but yeah, I think $700 is doable.
$700 per night,
per on a two-night stay. So for the whole duration,
$700 for one person.
For one person, yeah.
Okay,
that's not bad.
For I think because what was it like a couple thousand dollars for one person before?
A ridiculous amount.
Yeah, so I'm surprised they actually cut it down this much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that says a lot that they could still make a profit off of $700.
Yeah. Well, also, like, the article from the New York Post where I got this from pointed out, like, in addition to that, you're also paying for, like, drinks and other things on this excursion that, like, it adds up. So hopefully, like, Disney sees that, like, they don't need to depend so much on the room or on the stay rate. Like, they'll get some money off of food and stuff too, like, you can spend it on that now.
Yeah, and especially, like, other cruises have, you know, the buffet.
Yeah,
but they rely more on you're gonna spend a lot of money on alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if Disney just trusted in the cruise guidebook, they can make a lot of money without catering to the rich.
And they're part of that guidebook. They should know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that one of the things that people compared or kind of like called out as one of the disappointments of it is that you go to this pricey hotel to stay in windowless bunkers.
Yeah.
Because they like make it so that you're in space. And so you're in these rooms with no windows to the outdoors. It's just like, and then they're like weird little sleeping pods built into the wall, which is very, you know, it's very themed, but at the same time, it's like, I'm paying a lot of money.
To be in a jail cell.
Yeah, basically.
Windowless bunkers.
Well, If you
if you need something to listen to while you're in your windowless bunker.
But this is very exciting. So a lot of people are talking about this. On the Disney casting website, they posted a new casting call for singer and actors for a new limited run musical at the Hyperion Theater.
Yay!
Some people think it's Hercules because there's a role for like a Greek chorus. But sometimes Greek chorus can mean other things aside from like the literal.
An actual literal Greek chorus.
Yeah, but some people think it might be for Rodgers the Musical. And the reason why is because there's one role that's for a female.
A British female.
A British female, yeah, with an English accent.
Wait a minute. Agent Carter's a British female.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, so time will tell, but this is really exciting. And we finally kind of know what's going to happen with the Hyperion Theater, which has been dark since the pandemic.
Yeah, I'd say no matter what happens, I'm just excited to get a musical in there.
Yeah. Honestly, I would also love a Hercules musical.
Yeah.
I would probably prefer a Steve Rogers musical, but Hercules has great music as well.
Yeah.
So both would be fun. Both would be winners. But yes, I'm sure many of you listening know, but in theater terms, a Greek chorus could just be a group of chorus members that usually would say things in unison and be the backup to like fill in the context of what's happening behind the main characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, Hercules is going to Broadway, so Hercules does has his time on stage.
That's the other thing. I felt like it would be weird
to do
a mini version of that musical if it's already going to Broadway. Like, I feel like that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially because they'll always make plans for it to go to Broadway and then to tour. So there doesn't seem to really be a need to have a Hyperion show on it.
Yeah, because if I remember right, and you would know more than me, but didn't the Aladdin show in the Hyperion close around the time the Broadway show started?
I think it did beforehand. I mean, because of Frozen, and the Frozen show went in there. And I guess the Frozen show was in there while the Frozen went on Broadway.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It was.
So they could have them both. But.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I'm just so excited that it's just sitting there being sad and empty all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because that place is such a people eater. Like, you can put so many people in there, and especially with the parks being so crowded right now. It's just
a good they're way to do really that. Crowded right now, you guys.
Rachel got to go back. She can attest to that.
It's so crowded.
So, yeah, the only reason, too, I really hope it's Rogers is because it's in the middle of the Avengers area.
Yeah.
So it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I just really want to see that musical.
Yeah.
100%.
And
that's what I
mean, we got to see the song live last year. So it'd be like, why are you taking time to teach people this song if you're not gonna do anything with it?
I know, that was such a tease. We were like, are they gonna release like details about it? But no.
And for anyone who doesn't remember, that was at D23. Kevin Feige brought out people to introduce the Marvel section with the song from the musical.
Yeah.
I can do this all day.
Speaking of releasing new details,
Yeah, so we kind of have more details about the Splash Mountain re-theme to Tiana's Bayou Adventure and kind of the story of what it's going to be. And it is pretty interesting. So it's taking place after the movie, a little bit after the movie, where Tiana's restaurant, Tiana's Place, has become so successful that she actually bought a salt mine where now she'll be using it to grow vegetables, fruits, just ingredients for her restaurant. And actually, she has this whole co-op now called Tiana's Foods, which is now employee-owned. It's kind of like a teaching kitchen kind of place where she's teaching the community how to make food. Kind of very like living with the land type feel.
Oh,
my favorite ride in Epcot.
Or like a really fancy restaurant in Peru where you can spend $400 a person.
Oh god.
To see where they grow the food and then serve the food. We should just go by there. We should go by there, you guys.
It would be so affordable. Did you go there?
No. No, we did not.
Yeah, so at this time now, to celebrate, you know, give thanks to the community with her help of building her business, she wants to throw a big Mardi Gras party for everyone. And with that, she needs an ingredient she's searching for. So on the ride, you'll be helping her find that special ingredient for the Mardi Gras party. Hmm. So you'll be falling down a flume to find that ingredient.
That's a very weird storyline.
It is.
Yeah. I'm confused why they decided they needed to go so off book for this storyline. I feel like you could have just did the story of Princess and the Frog and be perfectly happy.
Yeah.
Just and everyone on the thing being like, dig a little deeper.
Just say, like, Mama Odie's in trouble and she needs to visit her. And there you go. That's it. That's all you need.
I want some, like, voodoo magic.
Yeah.
No. We need to have a farm-to-table restaurant where we grow our own recipes, and we're going to have a celebration, but we can't have it without Celebritonium, the special agreement ingredient.
It's related to Unobtainium.
It is exactly related to Unobtainium.
Well, I'm just mad that they're taking out Seth Nutton because I love Seth Nutton and wokeness.
Okay, Cartman. Okay, cool. Boo. Well, you know what's unobtainable right now? Higher wages, higher wages for employees at Disney World. So right now there is some back and forth between unionized workers at Walt Disney World and the company. Just recently, the Walt Disney Company offered a $1 per hour increase on wages. But the union members rejected that offer. They're looking for something more than like around like $3 an hour increase, which I don't think is a lot. Especially because housing in Orlando is increasing quite a bit. So a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, are either living paycheck to paycheck or just can't afford to work at Disney. That's what's going on right now. Hopefully they find an agreement between each other. Hopefully our cast members get paid more.
It's crazy to me that the price has skyrocketed so much. Under JPEG.
And hasn't been lowered again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It hasn't been lowered.
Nothing of the added costs has been lowered.
Iger said that he's going to stop raising, but there hasn't been talk about going down on that cost. The parks are, like, busier than ever, so where's all this money going? Why can't they give more to the workers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Galaxy.
Yeah. Galaxy.
Oh, my God.
Galaxy.
Listeners, Favorites, there's so much to go over here. Jedi Fallen Order 2 has been delayed.
It's the only thing.
That's it.
But I know some of you will be heartbroken
because
you have been eagerly awaiting your dearest Cal Kestis.
You don't even know his name.
Kestis?
No, you said it right, Cal Kestis. Okay. But it was funny, you're like, Cal Kestis.
Because as I was saying, I'm like, am I pronouncing this right? who you love and adore. I'm looking at a picture of him right now with like a weird kind of beard on him. And I'm like, what? Why do you have a beard?
I like his sexy beard.
Redheaded beards are weird to me.
Tell that to Stephanie.
She doesn't have beards, which is quite good, I think. But anyways, y'all have been waiting a long time for this to come, and it's been hit with a delay. And the exact release timing for this title has kind of been like rumored for a while, and they did reveal that it would be out on March 17th, but that's no longer the case.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's been delayed 6 weeks to April 28th. Mm-hmm. So now you can't even have it for your birthday. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can't. No. So 6 weeks longer than was expected. So sad, mournfulness. Yeah.
Well, that isn't marvelous.
Marvelous.
Marvelous. Oh my glob, I love this first piece of information so much. I work here now. So we all know with Ant-Man Quantumania coming out, in the movie itself, Scott Lang has written a book, and it's like a tell-all memoir about his life and like joining the Avengers. Favreites, you can purchase this book. You can purchase the book from the movie as if it's written by Scott Lang talking about his rise.
Wow.
It says here on my Amazon that I last purchased it on February 2nd.
How unusual.
Well, oh my God, it's already a number one bestseller. So apparently I'm not the only one who pre-ordered it.
I mean, it does have a picture of Paul Rudd on the front.
And there's a little tiny ant sitting on his shoulder. I just noticed that.
Oh, ant.
So this book is called Look Out for the Little Guy by Scott Lang. It is a little bit of a hefty price. For Kindle, it's $13.99. For the hardcover, it's $26.99. I went big. I got the hardcover because I want to physically have it if it's like memorabilia from the movie, you know?
Yeah.
But if you want to read this in time for the movie, you will have to wait because it's not being released until September 5th of this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like way after the movie.
Way after the movie.
What's with that timing? I don't understand.
I don't know. It's 256 pages, so automatically Alan's like, good God, that's too long. I hate reading.
Mm-hmm.
But here is a description of what you could expect to get out of it. It's called Look Out for the Little Guy. It says, Look Out for the Little Guy is the in-movie memoir by Scott Lang, also known as Ant-Man, that he's written and shared with the world, as seen on screen in the new Marvel Studios film Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Hyperion Avenue is proud to bring this book to real life.
Interesting.
Are either of you interested in like reading this?
No.
I'm interested for you to read it and then tell me what happens.
Yeah.
Well, good.
What you think.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
I'm curious to see, like, what's going to fill up all the pages of this book.
Yeah.
I know. I'm kind of skeptical.
It's just the script of the movie.
Yeah, basically. Well, do you know who wrote this book?
Scott Lang.
George Santos.
No. Oh, no.
Lies. Like, what? All the lies he tells.
So if you haven't heard, George Santos is a, I believe, 35-year-old Republican who
just tells lies.
What?
So many lies.
Who just tells lies. He's in the House of Representatives. And there's a lot of discussion around him right now because his whole resume is a lie. Yes. Like, he's basically come out and said, well, we all embellish on our resume. But yeah, but we're not political figures. And we didn't say our mom died in 9/11. The reason why this is coming up on our show, I just love this so much. One of his lies that just came to light. Ha! See what I did there?
Uh-huh.
George Santos said that he was one of the producers of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. You know, that ill-fated musical that never happened.
Well, it did happen, but it closed real
very
darn quick.
Yeah.
After people, like, gravely injured themselves on stage in front of audiences.
Yep. Fell,
I mean,
like, stories.
Of all the things to lie about, why would you put right? out that one? I produced a failed musical. Like, he might as well have said that he produced that, like, the Vampires musical. It was the Rebecca one. The Rebecca musical had a big thing around it.
Or Carrie.
Yeah.
The musical.
Carrie was great, though.
I heard, like, it was great.
And the fact that, what's it called, community playhouses can pick it up so quickly and do things with it, great. Wonderful. Beautiful. Yeah. I need more.
They can't do Turn Off the Dark, though.
No.
I wonder if he just thought, like, nobody knows who produced Turn Off the Dark because it was a failure. Like, who's going to want to, like, come to light?
Who wants to take credit for that?
Yeah.
I do.
But also, I don't know when he said this lie. It just came to light recently, but maybe he said it while it was, like, being talked about.
And, like, coming to the stage.
Yeah.
While they were really hopeful with stars in their eyes that this was going to be amazing.
Another thing that's really fun, and you may want to check out with George Santos, I listened to the podcast Race Chaser with Willem and Alaska. I can't say Alaska's last name because we're a family show. But they unearthed and played some of the videos, because Jorge Santos is a gay man. He used to be a drag queen in Brazil. There's actual, like, video footage of him doing karaoke, and one of the ones he sings is Let It Go, and it's not good. He needed to let it go.
Why did we have that for Covered Disney?
We could.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, goodness.
Well, that's no fun, but no, it is fun.
What?
Our first trans masculine Disney Plus actor speaking out on his role in Ironheart.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Zoe Tarekis is a trans masculine, and he is going to be in Ironheart, which is coming out soonish. I don't know when. I lose track of the timing. It's coming out to Disney Plus, and he recently talked about how what a great opportunity it is to be a part of that, because he made note of that he didn't really know he existed when watching TV and movies growing up. He never saw himself represented up on the screen. And specifically, here is his quote. "I think as trans people growing up, I didn't get to see myself anywhere, so I didn't really know that I existed, and especially not in a superhero show or movie. And so I think I just feel deeply grateful and moved that little trans kids and trans teens have something to look at and to know they exist and to know that they can have superpowers, and that's where we belong." So really exciting. People are really reading into it, and they're like, ooh, is Tarekis gonna have superpowers? Like, is this gonna be a bigger part of their role, or his role that he's doing? Because we don't really know exactly what role yet that he'll be doing. And it is Ironheart, so it's kind of focused less on a super-powered hero and more on someone that has their superhero status from their smarts and the suit that they built. So it'll be interesting to see.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun times. Other fun times. These were terrible transitions. More fun times. Because
they're usually
scenes.
So good.
We should delete these. Speaking of deleted scenes, the first Black Panther 2 deleted scenes have been released online over this past week. So there's two different ones that you can check out. It sounds like the scenes that were deleted had a little bit more to do with our Okoye, I would say her name.
Okoye.
Where actually Okoye was kind of like saying, hey, I'm going to not be here with you and go do something else. And Shuri's like, that's cool. Let me know if you need me. Mm-hmm. But they didn't end up doing that. So that's really interesting because now last we saw, Okoye is still very much part of the guard. I always forget their names.
The Milaje.
Dora Milaje.
The Dora Milaje. But I guess they were having plans to have her take her new fancy suit and go her own way.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was one of them. And then another one, another deleted scene was also Okoye, but it's Okoye with Danny Sapani's Macathu walking alongside each other having a discussion. So it really does seem like there was a lot to Koye's story that we didn't get to see that ended up on the cutting room floor. But now we have two of those scenes back to take a look at, and who knows if that's the same route that the character will take since it did get deleted. But kind of interesting.
Yeah, I feel like there's room. Like, people love Okoye, and I think it's a lot to do with the actress, because she also played Michonne in The Walking Dead, who was like, I mean, she's already a cool character. She has a samurai sword, and she kills zombies with it. But, I mean, it takes a strong actor to pull that off, and she pulled off both roles so well. Give her her own show already.
Yeah, the scene with Macathu, it's actually, he suggests that she should challenge Shuri for the throne.
Oh!
So, like, that one's kind of like, oh, there's big implications there. Yeah. That's not just like, hey, like, do good, I'm going to leave the service now. Like, she randomly had someone encouraging her to try to take the throne.
I think that'd be cool. Where I am in Black Panther right now, like, T'Challa has been kind of deposed as the king. So that'd be interesting if they, like, transferred that over to Shuri, where she's ousted, and we see her kind of on the run.
Be interesting.
Could be interesting. You know what else is interesting?
What?
Disney!
Disney!
Disney! Disney! Disney! So, just to expand on last week, I talked a little bit about Disney Dreamlight Valley and what the new update holds. So, we talked about them teasing Mirabelle and Olaf in the February update. They've also revealed that they're going to do a lot of patches for some of the things that are plaguing gamers, such as when you go to a certain stone in the Glade of Trust, and you break it, and whoever's following you just does this weird dance in front of it and gets stuck there forever. It happened to both Minnie and Eric. It's a thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, sorry.
They just dance. Dance! Dance like, until glitches. You dance!
They, like, glitch. Yeah, yeah. That'd be funny if they added a Vanellope and she glitched.
She fixed it. Or she fixed, yeah.
So, they have expanded on the fact that they teased a doorknob. And the door, I guess, shows an M. So a lot of people thought, oh, M is for Mirabelle. Who we know is coming in February also.
And a doorknob is very important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Her story.
But they've said it's separate. Mirabelle is, I guess, not getting her own realm, which in the game, like, you can go into certain character realms, such as Wall-E, Moana, Toy Story. So some of the characters just are in your island. Some of them have their own realm that you find them in. So people are wondering, well, if it's not Mirabelle, what does this M stand for? And what's this new realm? And Alan thought of one movie in particular where an M in a circle is a prominent feature.
Mm-hmm. Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
So yeah, we think we're going to get Monsters, Inc. in the game.
Is it the same M font that we're used to seeing for Monsters?
I haven't seen it myself, but yeah, I've been trying to find this post. I guess I could just go on Twitter and look there.
I mean, they do have a lot of Pixar characters.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to have Monsters, Inc., but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Another thing that has been revealed is that the next thing coming to the game, the next update, is the Festival of Friendship. Mm. So it's going to celebrate that. And in the game, there's something called the Star Path, which is like a special event where you can get like outfits and decorations, stuff like that. So this Star Path will celebrate the 100.
Oh, okay.
So we'll probably get a lot of, like, those lavenders and silver colors and things like that. So very someone exciting. Who just started playing recently, I missed out on a lot of the Christmas Star Path. So hopefully I can get the 100 stuff.
All right.
Yeah, so those are your updates. Well, if that wasn't enough of an update for you on Dreamlight Valley, you should look into the Mirrorverse and really question yourself.
Yes. I'd say, how can I play more video games to do with Disney?
How can I play more Disney games? We just got an update. Actually, I just saw this yesterday, I think, in the Mirrorverse. It showed two shadowy silhouettes. So we don't know who exactly, but I can tell from one of the silhouettes who it is. But it gave us this little hint to go off of. Soon we'll be adding a super cool friend of the city and a doll of the living thread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it Frozone? Well, I can't see the
silhouettes. I know you can't.
Frozone and Pinocchio.
It's definitely Frozone. I can tell from the silhouette and the hint. The
it's a very domed head.
Yeah. The doll of the living thread. So she was a little harder. She was a little harder. She's holding like a big needle and thread, it looks like. Or needle. Or two needles. Two needles, sorry. I believe it's going to be Sally. And that's what a lot of the comments said also. Because Jack and Oogie are already in it, so it makes sense to add Sally. And she is a doll of the living dead thread. She also threads and needles herself. So yeah, people are really excited. I'm excited to see what Sally looks like. Because she looks kind of like a little more sexified from her pose.
Oh.
More like a person shape. She looks, I don't know, she's going to be cool, I think.
Okay.
All right.
But do you think this is a good or a bad deal?
I mean, I think that must be a good deal, but know what a bad deal is?
Wait.
Apparently, people are saying that Disney buying Fox was a bad deal, new reports say. So, as we know, Disney bought Fox. They first kind of announced that they were acquiring them in 2017, and the deal went through in 2019. Really great timing. Really great timing for that to go through, that big $71 billion acquisition went through just about a year before the world shut down due to a global pandemic. So there are some great things that came with that acquisition. Like that's where they kind of picked up the rights to Avatar, which in my brain at the same time, I'm like, they must have gotten the rights for the Avatar land before that, though, as far as the timing goes to get that built. But doing that, like, they officially now own all of Avatar. So Avatar's success does go toward that. But they were really looking at how they would have all these original blockbusters that would be great content for adult audiences, things like Planet of the Apes and Avatar. But as we can see, they haven't really done much with a lot of the Fox entities aside from Avatar. And we don't really have much, I think, to look forward to in those. So when you consider the fact that it was $71 billion that they spent on it, and they only made, I mean, only, it still was a great earnings, $1.6 billion. From Avatar, really, they have a lot to work down. I guess they're now at about $45 billion in debt from that deal.
Wow.
And if you think like, oh, 1.6 will come off with each release and we don't have a ton of releases lined up. So really, it seemed to be a bit of an opinion piece where it's like they really have to look at how they're going to use these and how they can really change the trajectory so that they're making more money off of all these great things that they absorbed. I mean, personally, I think a great thing to work on would be the X-Men films. Yeah. I mean, that would be a great opportunity, you guys. It's like we're sitting on a big cash cow or something.
That's what I don't get. There's so many X teams. There's so much history. Like, that could obviously be a huge movie maker. They could do a movie for X-Factor, for X-Force, for the Phoenix Saga, and finally do it right. Like, there's so much content. There's so many characters. Just get to work.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely saw it in D23 when we had, like, Lucasfilms and then Marvel and then Avatar.
Yeah.
Not even talking about Fox, just Avatar.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's so much there.
Well, and it's amazing to me, we've said this before, but I reiterate, they have this whole streaming platform that they're like, it's not doing as well as we want, but they own this whole catalog of Fox movies, of adult movies. That they could throw up there and, like, get more subscribers that way.
I will say, it was really weird being somewhere where there was no Hulu over in England. And so a lot of Hulu stuff was just on there. So it was very strange opening Disney Plus and having, like, murder documentary.
Yeah.
Soaking up. Funny. And I was like, oh, hello.
Ew.
There's a child dying outside.
There's a child I'd like to murder.
Oh,
no, 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 no.
Wow. If you did that, we would have to send them to a children's hospital. Speaking of children's hospital.
There you go.
Disney is delivering joy to children's hospitals all across the globe in 2023. I just thought it was nice to kind of highlight this is part of efforts by Disney's $100 million global commitment from 2018 to put $100 million towards children's hospitals to help reimagine the patient experience in these hospitals in hopes of delivering joy and comfort to children and their families. And so there was just a little article kind of talking about all the things that they've done, how they have set up like mobile movie theaters, complimentary content access, additional character themed hospital wear, special deliveries and in-hospital installations, for about 750 children's hospitals and pediatric places of care around the globe. Awesome. So it's nice. Like, we know Disney makes so much money. It's nice to see them doing something.
They make money?
A little bit. If they're not going to pay their workers, they might as well send to some children in children's hospitals. But yeah. So they're doing more to expand these. And, I mean, the cinema's really cool. Like, a lot of times these kids are just there for days and days and days. So having a nice little kind of large screen way to view Disney films, I think, is lovely.
Mm-hmm. That is. Just
one little thing to bring some joy.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to steal the cover Disney from you, and it's your own fault.
What?
Because you were like, we should do George Santos, Let It Go. So now we're going to.
Oh, no. We should save this other one for when Splash Mountain actually closes.
Yeah, we should. We should. So here is a little snippet of George Santos, who looks like he's probably in his mid to late 40s, but he's actually younger than me, singing Let It Go from Frozen.
Ooh. Got this. Let's go. I'm never going back. The past is in the past. Let it go, let it go. I am one with the wind and sky. Let it go, let it go. That perfect girl is gone. Here I stand in the light of day. Let the storm rage on. Bothered me anyway.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That I could watch all day long.
Yay.
My ears are not bleeding.
So for our Margal Disbiz question this week, we want to know, are you excited to read Scott Lang's book?
Let us know.
Let us know.
Let us know. And then read it in September.
Yes. In September. We will definitely remember this by September.
Yes. You'll remember it when it shows up at your door.
Yeah, I know. I'm wondering. Well, they usually send reminders that it's coming. But yeah, I was like, is it just going to show up? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Thing.
Well, we have some very sad news, Favorites. As Alan and I, it's not sad for us,
yeah,
we will be in Paris, well, and Amsterdam, the next 2 weeks, so there will not be a new episode while we are away.
Yeah, but we'll post things that we do that's related to Disney. So, yeah, follow us.
Yeah. You're not going to post anything about your Amsterdam trip?
No!
Maybe about going to see Ant-Man.
Yes, we are seeing Ant-Man in Amsterdam on February 15th. Very excited about that. It comes out on Wednesday over there. And we are going to Disney Paris or Paris Disney. So we'll probably post some of that. We'll be staying on Disney property.
Yeah.
If they've opened up underneath the castle, you have to go see my dragon.
Yeah, I want to see the dragon.
It's beautiful!
You're beautiful!
Thank you.
And if people want to see your beauty, where can they find you?
They can find me on A Real Bodice Ripper, a podcast about romance novels and how ridiculous and lovely they are.
Yeah. How about you?
You can also find us on the Once Upon a Cult. It's been a long day.
In his defense, we literally just recorded Once Upon a Cult.
Yeah, where we talk about a new cult every other week.
Yeah, yeah. You can find me on this week. We're on our last episode of season 3 of X-Men on Solving for X, Love in Vain, a very rogue-centric episode.
Oh.
And you can find me on Words of the Witches, where we are coming towards the end of season 9 of the comics of Charmed.
Hi, Kevin.
Thank you for listening.
Wait, do we have a favorite moment?
Favorite moment!
What's yours?
Well, it's probably... So I've been like eyeing this for a while. Sean mentioned it. We were trying to get tickets for Quantumania because they don't do pre-sale as far ahead as the U.S. does. But there was a theater that I've been eyeing. If you have a chance, look this theater up. It's called the Theater Tuschinski. And it's just a really... It's kind of like... It reminds me of El Capitan because we'll be watching it on a balcony. And they include like snacks and drinks and everything. They even sell like love seat seating over there. So I'm really excited. I'm just glad like we got tickets for it.
You got tickets for it.
Well, like we're going to watch together. Yeah.
How about you, Rachel?
My favorite moment was going to California Adventure and getting myself a clam chowder and a pretzel. I'm very predictable. Yay. And then also getting like my magic band. Because there's magic bands now since I went away. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. My favorite moment, which I definitely decided before this moment and I'm not stalling, is actually this week we've been getting a lot of attention on Solving for X, which is Marvel, which is related. So excited to forge some new friendships, have some new guests on the show. We're going to feature somebody who is independently making live action X-Men shorts. We had somebody else feature my art on their Instagram. So yeah, just good feels. Good work, Kevin and Sean.
Thank you. Was that supposed to be Kevin?
Yeah, that's how he talks.
Hey guys, it's me, Kevin. He sounds a little bit like Mickey Mouse.
What? He's our next featured.
Yeah. All right, thank you for listening. We'll see you in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I don't know.
We'll see you when we see you.
We'll get back on the 23rd. So whenever that Monday is, we'll be back and we'll talk about Paris Disney.
Yeah.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.